Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, my boss finds faults. Part two. Here we go. Okay, so talking about doing things that are uncomfortable, you're actually suggesting to people that they actually apologize once if they need to.
Yeah, look, there are far more occasions in this world where apologies would be effective than most people ever take advantage of. Civility is the grease that keeps us from tearing each other apart in day-to-day social life and interaction. Apologizing, folks, as we've said before in our apology cast, which is one of the most popular, is not a sign of weakness. If you made a mistake, and when your boss thinks you've made a mistake, guess what? You've made a mistake. If you've caused somebody inconvenience, you know, the thing to do is to apologize and to be sincere about it. I'm sorry. If you don't care about the people around you and you can't motivate yourself to apologize, quit your job and find someplace else that you can work with people you care about. If you don't feel you can care about anybody, you're probably not going to be deeply effective in the long run in most larger organizations of the world. As Horseman's Law has said many times, it's all about people and more communication is better. Look, we're not going to go into it in great depth here. We got a whole cast on it, as I mentioned, about how to apologize. But just to be clear, we're not saying apologies are a panacea. You can't, as some kids like to do, deliberately make a sin of omission and then trust that the apology will make up for it. You don't get to do that. You don't get to keep sinning. If you go to church, that's what they say. Just because you apologize doesn't give you the right to sin again because you know you can apologize. But if you've made a genuine mistake, an honest mistake, just apologize. Think about it. If someone inconvenienced you, let's say they made a mistake which caused you to miss a meeting, and then made a heartfelt and genuine apology, and by the way, heartfelt and genuine, smile, look the other person in the eye, you know, use the right words, as we mentioned in the other cast, would you think less of them? I really doubt it. I think if you would choose to think less of them, I think you really have to think carefully about your interactions with the people. The idea that someone making a mistake and then making a genuine effort to atone for it makes them smaller. I would think that you're going to have a real rough time when you're an executive, unless you're in your own company and you're at the top of the heap and you can do whatever you want. And there's no peer or superior to perhaps set you right every once in a while. No one thinks less of you when you apologize. They think you're strong and secure enough to admit you were wrong. And when you don't apologize, they think you're so weak you can't afford to be even weaker by admitting you were wrong.
Right. You mentioned apologize once, right? So obviously, if you're checking numbers on a spreadsheet and there's 15 mistakes on it, you don't want to apologize for every single one. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that would get tiresome pretty fast. Yeah. Look, boss, I'm sorry. I didn't check my work carefully enough. And that's wasted your time. I'll do better in the future. My apologies. Simple. Yeah,
that easy. For some of you, that's not easy. But
well, yeah. But again, this isn't easy tools either, is it? There you go.
Okay. Create a strategy for doing better. Now, I love this one.
Yeah, look. Create a support system which helps you do better rather than relying on areas which may be a weakness for you. This isn't hard. Both me and Wendy are high D, high I's. Neither of us give a flip about details. We don't. I admit it. I'm smart enough to be very good at details if I pay attention to them. But at the end of the day, Mike's going to catch more details than I would. That's part of what makes us a good team, we think, right? But frankly, it's not our natural inclination to focus on details. Fortunately for us, we both know it, and we try to make up for it with supportive strategies. We create a piece of work. Both of us separately create a piece of work. We let it rest and then we double check it. Because if you check something right after you've done it, you're still in the mindset of where you were when you did it. And so you won't catch your mistakes. We have other people check our work before it's sent out. Gosh, Wendy's caught me 1,000 times on that.
Yeah, we make checklists for activities. You do checklists. Our conference checklist, folks, we do public conferences. And our checklist has hundreds. Yeah. Of items on it and things we execute every single conference. We don't do what we do each time by mistake because we know, and particularly you and Wendy know that you're, and Maggie as well. She's off the chart. Yeah. Folks, I'm the only high C in this company. All right. So I carry the burden for the entire team.
I knew this was coming.
So we have checklists. That's how we make sure we get it right every time.
Yeah. And the great thing about that is the knowledge is in the checklist. So it doesn't have to be in your head. And so we can be thinking about customers and about content.
There right? you go.
So we make checklists for activities for the, all those things we do that have details. Folks, I have been traveling for 20 years and I still have a packing checklist. Why? Because in the last year, as manager tools and career tools continue to grow, there are times when I have to pack the night before or the morning of. Because I'm up all night doing X for a customer, and then the next morning I know I have to go and I didn't have time to pack, and I better have a checklist if I'm having to do something in 5 minutes that I know I'm going to take a half an hour to do. Folks, we're not saying everybody needs a checklist, because if you're IC, you probably don't in all cases. Our point is you've got to create a system that works for you to help make up for your weakness. So in our, in mine and Wendy's case, the strategy is checklist. So what we're doing here is we're encouraging you to act as if your manager has given you feedback in the feedback model and ask yourself, okay, what can I do differently? Even if nobody asks it of you, if your boss doesn't actually deliver it the right way or in a way that's effective for you, you can ask it of yourself. What can you do differently? What would I do next time to keep this mistake from happening? Now, look, if you're young, if you're under the age of 25, you might find yourself building incredibly long checklists and then realize, nah, these are too much. That's okay. That was your bridge to get all that stuff done right. And then when it becomes second nature, you can take things off of your checklist if, in fact, the checklist is a solution. Maybe you have a great idea for a presentation, but when you present, you're nervous. Well, maybe that's because it's your first presentation and your support system is one of your buddies going to listen to you present two or three times in the two or three nights before a presentation. Or maybe your spouse is going to listen to your presentation and tell you how you did good and what you can do better. And that's your way of rehearsing to the point where you won't be quite so nervous. That's all. Look, the best part about asking yourself rather than having somebody else ask you is you don't have to come up with something right away, right? But on the other hand, don't let yourself off the hook. Remember that feeling of having the conversation with the boss and use that pain of disappointment in yourself or embarrassment, if that's how you feel about it, to power your contemplation of what might work.
Right. And for those of you who tend to beat yourself up a little bit, I found, and that historically, that was what I used to do. And what I found is the faster I got to creating the solution in the future, the less time I had and less mental energy I spent on feeling bad about my mistake.
On the mistake and feeling bad about it, both of which you can do nothing about.
Exactly.
Right?
And I can change the future. And my excitement about changing the future and getting better in the future got me past my disappointments myself.
Yeah, right, exactly. So look, here's some things to consider, folks, that might be helpful. You might need more preparation. You know, Mike and I, there was a saying when we were in the Army, proper preparation prevents poor performance. That's actually the sanitized version of it. There's a word missing. Preparation is better. More checking. If you can find somebody who's good at detail and barter with them internally in the company for a skill they need, your work is more likely to be right. You know, going slower, taking less time, you know, less haste. Working fast is the enemy of accuracy. If you're working for a picky boss, go slower. Start earlier, work more slowly. Schedule time for those things that you make mistakes on to remind you that to exclude all of the thoughts rather than trying to break it up into 10 5-minute bits, which is a very bad idea anyway. You know, more communication. Nobody has ever said, almost nobody has ever said, communicate with me less. More communication earlier helps every situation we found. Yeah. Those are just some of the things you can do.
Yeah. And here's a, deserves its own bullet, which it does here, because it's a strategy, not a strategy for fixing, but it's certainly a strategy to help you get better in the future, which is move on, right? Don't compound your failure with more failure. Don't get yourself all tied up in a knot and therefore become less effective in your current state.
Yeah. In fact, I spent about 50 minutes talking about this when I talk to college students, university students about interviewing. And I say, really surprises them when I say, it's okay to make a mistake in our interviews. We understand nobody's perfect. Kind of relaxes them a little bit. And then of course, once they get relaxed, they ask all kinds of stupid questions, but regardless,
and I tell them,
the first mistake is no big deal. The problem, the reason recruiters don't like mistakes is they know how you're going to emotionally respond to it, which is beating yourself up for it privately while not listening to the next question. It's not the first mistake that bothers us. We make mistakes all the time. The issue is you lose focus on what you're trying to do. You go internal. You think about yourself. You think about the the risk you just created for yourself, and you forget that your job is to listen and answer, and you literally can't hear the next question. And it's not the first mistake that kills you. It's the fact that your response to your first mistake causes you to make another and another and another, and then you start beating yourself up, and then you're done, right? It's a downward spiral. It's a vicious cycle rather than a virtuous cycle. So the fact is, your state of mind has an enormous effect on your effectiveness, and being tied up in knots about something that has already happened and there's nothing you can do about it is not effective. Once you've carefully thought about whatever criticism you've gotten from your boss, once you've created a strategy for avoiding it, you can't actually action the strategy until you get that situation again, but you still can create the strategy. Next time I'll do A, B, and C. Once you've decided to implement that A, B, and C, there is nothing more that you can do about what happened in the past. In fact, there's nothing you can ever do about what happened in the past, but there's nothing more you can do to address it in the future than those things. Despite the fact that we've all wished for the floor to swallow us up every once in a while. And for some of you, it's just being embarrassed in front of your peers. For others, it's that you feel like you're letting your parents down or a professor down, or you really thought you were perfect and now you realize you're not and it's embarrassing, whatever. The fact is, the floor is not going to swallow you up. And at the same time, nobody's ever going to be able to change the past, at least unless you're in the movies, right? Once you've done the work of learning from the situation, move on. Let it go. As Jimmy Buffett says, breathe in, breathe out, move on. Okay? As Wendy says, this is one of, and probably the most surprising of, my secrets to success. I let go of a lot. I burn to be better, and I let go of my failures. And there are many folks, and I've got stories. Look, I've been fired, right? I mean, people say, how do you start a consulting firm? Well, it's easy to get fired from your previous job and stay, live where you want to live, and realize there are no jobs that'll pay me enough unless I start my own company and get successful real fast. Breathe in, breathe out, move on. Take it seriously. Apologize if you need to. Create a strategy, something that'll work next time. Even if it doesn't work next time, you can create it now, and then you'll get closer and closer to perfection every time. And then move on. Let it go. And this is really a combination of emotional steps, work steps, task planning steps, and overall, it boils down to, this is the professional approach to someone whose boss criticizes you. And it's not your fault that your boss criticizes you, and your boss can criticize you, and it can be outside of you. And what can stay inside of you is a burning to get better. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's something worth being proud of, if pride weren't such a sin.
Absolutely.
And that's it, partner.
Thank you, my friend. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, my pleasure.
All right. We'll see you. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, we'll see you on the discussion forums, www.managertools.com/forums. Hope to see you there. So long, folks.